far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode, we get to talk about this year's E3 because Xionic doesn't know a thing about what happened.
We get the kind of games you can't rent in Blockbuster.
Gamer later, raise it bit by bit. Yo D, link up the cable, we'll go hit for hit. Phantasma, plasma, particle beam means I have you on the run. Rendered effects hot like magnets.
I play games by Capcom with a power glove strapped on any platform. I don't spend my dough on bad form. Video games, I got many to play before my life expires. Fulfill my desires.
Mastering your hardest ball, shattering our stars across. Ain't hard to cross the finish line, floating on Daytona. West gets a Kona, I get them all at cost. RPG platform, we transform like Macross.
Rival schools, buy two, purchase you all two. It came with World 3 CD, it's like I bought two. I hope they make part two for Dreamcast, cause games I've seen in bags you won't believe they had.
Getting calluses, turning over asteroids, graviton bombs destroyed, getting bombs annoyed.
I just see that they're gradually, the phone's being gradually answered by them or something, so
okay.
They haven't accepted yet.
CG was being all emo again earlier, so I don't think he's going to accept.
Oh, dude, what happened now?
Well, he's just always whining. I don't know what his deal is, but he's always like, sigh, I feel depressed in the chat.
Oh, what else isn't new with that guy?
Yeah. He got in this big fight while you were gone. I think I mentioned it on the phone with
yeah,
TY.
When I was at the Chicago airport, like, deciding what United is going to do with me not coming home that night. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, like, TY said something to him, and he got
TY mentioned something about Final Fantasy, and then CG didn't respond. And then a half hour later, CG posted the same thing, and TY was like, why didn't you respond when I mentioned this earlier? And CG was like, I'll talk about it when I want to, gosh. And then they got in this big fight.
I take it we're recording now?
Yeah.
Alright.
Did you see anything about E3?
No, I didn't see a thing about... I just saw like some of the games is sort of announced, like when you guys were mentioning it, because... Mm-hmm. I just kind of looked and see what was sort of announced. I saw like this new quote-unquote trailer of Metal Gear Solid 4-5, and it was nothing but people beating each other up and just like cutscenes. And then there was something about a new Doom game, and that's kind of the only two things I saw.
Yeah, yesterday was not very interesting to me, but today with Nintendo's event, they announced two new characters for Smash Brothers. Someone called, I don't know how to pronounce it, Palutena or something. They're from, like, the Kid Icarus games, I guess.
Okay.
I never even heard of them before this morning. But then they also announced Pac-Man tonight. But they announced it at, like, some developers conference that's behind closed doors that's not even being filmed, which is really weird way to get hype.
That sounds to me they're just making stuff up. They're like, okay... How are we going to make ourselves look any better this year? Let's just say there's a new Pac-Man. And there must have been a guy that was like a pen and paper pad that walked out. There was like, Nintendo has just said, new Pac-Man. And everyone went, no! That's how I'm imagining it, how everyone got the news about it. Because if it's behind closed doors, they're just back there with like taking shots of like, man, we'll say anything to get anybody riled up.
Yeah. There's like some sort of live text reporting on what's going on there. I think Josh has it open, but I don't have the link open. And it looks like Josh is not going to be on for another 20 minutes, he says.
Oh, because of...
He's watching Fargo on TV.
The movie Fargo?
No, the TV show. Did you know about this?
Oh, the one with Billy Bob Thornton?
Well, they made a show of Fargo. I haven't seen it, but I've seen ads for it.
Yeah, I remember them promoting that when Archer was about to end, and I think it came on like right when Archer ended.
Yeah,
that's all I know about the show.
Yeah. So yesterday's conferences, there was the Microsoft one in the morning, which was, it was not interesting at all. I don't really have anything to say about it. It was just a bunch of shooters and the usual annual installment of Assassin's Creed and Call of Duty and all that.
Anything about, like, Mad Max or Alien Infestation?
Yes, they did mention Alien Infestation. They showed some gameplay footage of it. And it looks pretty good.
Yeah, that's definitely making up for Colonial Marines from what it looks like.
Yeah.
what about Mad Max? Was there any footage of that or anything?
No, they didn't even mention it.
Wow.
And then after that was EA, which EA had this, let's see, they had football, they had soccer, they had golf, and then they had The Sims, which looked really fucking stupid. They had, like, some guy was reading poetry, and some woman got mad at him and, like, beat him up, and that was what they were using to promote the game.
Oh, so this was like an in-game thing that they were doing, or is this like real people doing this?
Yeah, well, it was in-game, but this was like some story they came up with for their little sim people or whatever.
Oh, so was that black girl that Aisha Taylor still hosting for E3?
Oh, yeah, I think she did the Ubisoft panel, and everybody
Either one of those. Yeah, go ahead.
Everybody was like, "Oh wow, the girl was swearing," but. Don't they always do that at the Ubisoft panel?
Yeah, they say obscenities from time to time. I mean...
Yeah. And it was funny because Spike, they didn't seem to know how to handle it. Because afterward, all the commentators were like, "Wow, she said the F-bomb. Can they say that on this network?" It's kind of funny.
It sounds to me like I didn't miss too much at E3. I mean, like... So my situation, and I'll just start at the ending, sort of, to the beginning of my whole Japan trip, because this is about Japan.
Wait a sec. I didn't talk about Sony yet.
So just tell me everything. Go ahead. I don't care.
So Sony's the last one, because we already talked about Nintendo. Sony, to be honest, I don't even really remember much of what Sony announced. JT was saying that they won over Microsoft, though. But who knows? JT also said Microsoft did a great job, which hardly anybody else thought. And JT hated Microsoft last year. But now he says he wants to get an Xbox One based on their...
oh my gosh!
Based on their panel. So
that guy, I swear.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Josh says Grim Fandango. That's true. That was announced for...
Yeah, that was something I noticed in like in a four-minute panel thing where it's like, I saw Tim Schafer's face and it was like Grim Fandango and I'm like, are they bringing it back?
Okay, we're back. Sorry, we've had two GarageBand errors here already. But yes, Grim Fandango is back, but it's only a re-release. And they announced it in a really weird way. They had this handwritten letter from a, what was it, a 10-year-old girl? Or and it was all about how she's played all these great adventure games by Tim Schafer, and she wants him to get more respect. And... So they read this out and they showed it on the screen and you know it looked like something written at her school or something with the lined paper and everything. It was kind of cute, but I guess that was an interesting way to introduce the game coming back. But I hope that this sells well enough that they make a sequel.
Yeah,
revive some sort of interest.
I just know Grim Fandango is one of those games that everyone tries to get their hands on, but I think the people who try to get their hands on it are just trying to resell it or have it in their collection and they've never played it before.
Oh.
That's always been my assumption for, like, ever since I've heard about the game years ago.
I have a copy of it. I think I might actually have two copies because I think I lost my first one, unfortunately. I had to rebuy it a few years back.
I don't think I've ever seen a copy of Grim Fandango like out in the store or something. Or if I did see it, it wasn't like below $10.
Yeah. I originally got it on. I got it at Bookman's used. I think I don't know if I ever saw it new at a store either. But
so I wonder if this little girl has played like Brutal Legend with like Jet Black swearing a lot in it or something. I because there's like two modes where you can have it like where him swearing and not swearing. So maybe she played that game. I don't know.
Yeah, I have Brutal Legend for PS3, but unfortunately my PS3 is a Goodwill piece of crap that doesn't play discs, except for
I thought you went ahead and took care of that issue. Like, your dad was saying something about getting it fixed or something when you bought it, like, last year.
Oh, he did say that, but he says a lot of things and then doesn't do it. He's very much a procrastinator. It's been like a year and a half since I bought it at this point.
Oh, yeah.
My mom just uses it to play Netflix, because it can connect to PSN and to the internet, at least.
Yeah, I mean, you can get PSN. Like regarding Grim Fandango, from what you told me, in the PS4, that'll just put it on the PSN network, and then you can have it for users who still have a PS3 and a PS4.
Yeah.
That's just stupid. Anyways.
Yeah. They also announced something called PlayStation... What was it? PlayStation TV or something like that? Or it's something you plug into the PlayStation 4 that allows it to be backwards compatible with PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 1, but not PlayStation 2, weirdly enough. And it's going to allow it to download games off of the server for, I guess, PlayStation 2. I don't know. But
you can do that crap on is it just like an external hard drive for the PlayStation system, since like you can't save games on a hard drive or anything like that with the PS3 already? So they just like had to make something specific to save games on it from the PSN network? That just sounds stupid.
It's for PS4, but it looks like it's some sort of external disk drive or something that you just plug into it, and it allows it to do some of the stuff that should have been built into the machine last year, but wasn't.
But it's, this is like Sega add-ons bullcrap. It's
it's $100, and so that would make it $500. And now the Xbox One is $400, because they removed the Kinect, and they didn't even talk about the Kinect at the Microsoft conference. So I can see why people might say Microsoft now has the advantage compared to last year. But,
because like Sony's like, we're gonna add on $100 of something so you can do the same thing, like then buying a new, like a system used to play your old games, and Microsoft is like, yeah, Kinect has always been stupid, we're not gonna support it, so we'll just cut off $100.
Yeah, basically.
Really care.
JT seems to think that he's going to be able to get all three systems, but he wants to get the Wii U, then the PS4, and then the Xbox One, all within the next few years before the next wave of consoles comes out. But he doesn't have a job, and he can't even afford the Wii U, which is the cheapest of them, so I doubt he's going to get any of them.
He just talks and says a lot of stuff.
He does say a lot of stuff.
Oh, he does say a lot of stuff.
He was talking all day today.
All right, so what's up with Nintendo?
Nintendo, They announced Yoshi Epic Yarn or something like that. It's like the Kirby game they did, but Yoshi, it's all about yarn. They announced a new Kirby. It's Kirby with rainbows or something. People are like drawing rainbows on the screen with the gamepad or something, and I don't know. And then what else was there? There was Brawl. They announced that new character I mentioned earlier from Kid Icarus.
Yeah.
And the way they did that was pretty cool, because they did it in anime form. Like, apparently Josh says that the Kid Icarus, the last game, had its cutscenes in anime form, and that's why they did it like this. But when everybody was watching this live, they were all like, whoa, what is this? Are they making a Smash Brothers OVA or something? But but no, it was just like a 1 minute little anime clip. Kind of a tease, but it was cool to see Link in anime form and all that.
Yeah.
And what else was there? There's Mario Maker or something like that. It's like Little Big Planet, I guess, but you can make Mario levels where you can put springs wherever you want, or pipes, or platforms and stuff.
Okay.
And they were showing off that, and it looks kind of fun, but at the same time, it's like the whole thing is based around, like, hacking a level to make it as easy as possible, so there's not really any challenge in that.
If it's one of those things where, like, you know, they make your own levels and share it, then people are going to come up with the most ridiculously hard levels ever.
Yeah.
Like Mario Lost Levels or something like that.
And they're also going to have to find a way to, because people are drawing stuff on it with the coins, they're going to have to find a way to stop people from, like, drawing dicks with coins, because I know that's going to happen.
Dude, what piece of technology can you not make a dick with? Like, that's the purpose of, like, creating things, is to make sure you can make it to a dick. If you can make something into a dick, then you know that it's going to sell well and people are going to like it. That's how it is. That is how our technology society works. And it's always going to be that way. It will never change.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Unless humanity changes. But why would we?
And then the last thing was that they announced that you can play as a Mii on Smash Brothers, which means you can create your own player to fight in any battle.
Okay.
And actually,
so
that's
you,
not
so
the...
you can draw a giant penis and then have it fight Peach and then try to make like a fan fiction erotic novel out of that.
Yeah.
You see, like, I'm telling you, like, technology revolves around the male reproductive organ.
And the other
that's
thing
how it is.
The other thing I just remembered is the something called Amiibo, where it's like a Skylanders or a Disney Infinity kind of thing, where they're going to make little Mario and Zelda figures and stuff, and you, like, plug it into the Wii U gamepad, and then it, like, gives you a power-up in Smash Brothers and Mario Kart and Mario Party, they said.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that's going to be coming on the market this year. And there's also a release date announced for Smash Brothers for 3DS. Comes out October 3rd, I think it was, of this year.
That sounds like a big thing right there, yeah.
And there was no release date exactly for the Wii U version, but they said it's coming this holiday season, so probably a month or two later.
I think when I was looking up, like, the E3 website, like, they mentioned about bundling Bayonetta with Bayonetta 2.
Yeah, they did have a bunch of bundle crap that they were promoting on E3 this year. There was a Bayonetta and there was a Halo bundle, and they spent some time on both of those. Halo is like four different Halo games in one, and JT was like, "This is so impressive, this way I don't have to get up and change the disc between playing all the Halo games."
OMFG.
And I was like, really? You can't get up once every 8 or 10 hours?
Stack of crap. Oh, man.
It's like, how lazy do you have to be to think this is a great idea?
Well, it's like, he's treating like each game is 30 minutes long or something. Like, it's a movie. Like, each game is like 8 or 10 hours worth of gameplay.
Yeah, that's like something.
By the time you beat a game, you need to get up and physically move your body because you're going to die quicker.
Yeah, that's like something people would say about, like, why DVD is better than Laserdisc. You don't have to flip it over. But
I like flipping it over because then I realize, oh, I have to get up and move my butt to continue this movie.
Yeah. Sometimes people need physical activity. We can't all be vegetables.
Yeah. Like, haven't people seen WALL-E? That's the way our future's heading, is for people. It's going to be like floating around this, like, anti-fat gravity pod things, because it got so fat because it didn't do anything.
Yeah. Okay. What else was there in Nintendo's panel? There's some paintball game that they were advertising.
Isn't it like Splatoon or Splattown or something?
Yeah, that's right.
Splatoon.
Yeah, I think it is Splatoon, actually.
A Splatoon is one of those, like, big metal things at bars that people spit in.
No, Splattoon.
Yeah.
Is what it's called, not Spittoon. That's what people do in the South. They chew some tobacco and spit it out in a spittoon.
Well, if there's one available, they've been using Mountain Dew bottles for many generations. I live here. I know these things, sadly.
Yeah. What else was there? That's probably about it. There wasn't really much else that was. Oh, New Zelda. They had a trailer for the New Zelda, and it was like Link standing on a horse in a field, and they were saying in the New Zelda you can play the dungeons in any order, and it's supposed to be really big, really open world. For months, TY has been playing this up and saying that each dungeon is bigger than the whole of any previous Zelda game. They didn't say that today. I think that's probably an exaggeration.
So in other words, it's like Skyrim.
Yeah, that's
for Zelda. That is essentially what it is, and they're trying to make it bigger and more drawn out.
That's how they're promoting it, but I'm not so sure that that's how it's really going to end up.
I like playing a game and knowing that I can finish it in a good decent amount of time. Like, you know, like I understand that, you know, Skyrim's a big game and I had fun in Skyrim, but like at a point I'm going to get tired of it.
Uh-huh.
Because it's so big and you know, I will get so bored because I'm like, I feel like at some point you feel like you're not accomplishing anything, but just like a meager part of a story mode. And you know, people who's like, oh, I've completed the whole entirety of Skyrim. It took me like, you know, 1,000 hours. I'm like, dude, I could have used that time elsewhere. And like, you know, like I'm in college now. I'm using my time more constructively than that person.
Do you remember when Skyrim came out and there was that thing about the guy who his girlfriend like couldn't pry him away from it? Like she tried to feed him stuff and have sex with him and stuff, and he like refused.
Well, it was like, yeah, I remember that. It was like she gave him pizza to like try to get him to eat, and then like it was something about she wasn't having sex, so she like give him a blowjob as he's playing the game. Like it's supposed to help him off of it.
Yeah, and it didn't work. That's
enabling. It's called enabling his habit. That doesn't work that way.
Yeah, like she should maybe think that when her boyfriend is more interested in a bunch of pixels than in like a flesh and blood woman, then there's maybe something wrong.
Or it's called pulling the power plug. I hate to say it, but yeah.
Yeah, maybe she needs to get a new boyfriend if she's having to go to these lengths to appease him.
Then you're getting the whole mental security about women and how they need someone in their life. And that just, yeah, you're like, oh, you ought to just move on. Well, depending on their relationship, she'll stick around. So, I don't know. People are weird like that.
And then during Ubisoft and Sony and Microsoft, there were a whole bunch of games that were first-person shooters. One of them was about taking people hostage. One was about stealing stuff. And in that one, they had a message on the screen the whole time, "You have the loot." That was up there for like 20 minutes, and we were all making fun of that in the chat.
What was it called?
You Have the Loot is what it kept saying. I can't remember the name of the game, though.
The Lootus?
The
How
Loot.
How do you spell that?
L-O-O-T.
L-O-L-T?
O-T. L-O-O-T. Like, stolen goods. Loot.
Oh, loot. I thought you said Lotus or something.
Oh, no.
I didn't know what this game is now. Okay.
But, yeah, I guess that's it for E3. It was...
I didn't miss much, in other words.
No, not really. I want to say one thing about Spike. They're a terrible channel. They only aired the Microsoft and the EA conferences, and the rest of it they streamed online. And they kept saying how great the Microsoft one was right after it, and they gave it an A, and then they gave the EA one a B. And they read a few tweets, but they didn't really reflect what I was seeing on Twitter from what Cloud was posting in the chat. I don't really think that they're impartial at all. They just want to suck up to Microsoft.
Well, I mean, if this Microsoft's paying them for this gaming stuff, I mean...
Yeah, they're sponsored by the same people, aren't they? Like Mountain Dew and Doritos?
Yep.
So that's why you should come to the Anime of Yesteryear podcast. We're not sponsored by Mountain Dew and Doritos.
Yeah,
we're
take donations.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact.
We're beholden to the donors, and that's why we've used the donations to create a new website.
Not really a new not a new website, but really more of a change it over to .com. So I got an email of this like when I was in my trip thing in Japan last week, and which is what this whole podcast is about, because as of this recording, you guys already talked about E3. And so that is going to come out, like, before this episode, probably. You guys did record E3, right?
No.
No?
No. That was what I just did.
Oh, so that's it. That's all of E3 right there.
Well, unless Josh wants to say something.
Well, I can quickly go over my thoughts.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Tell me what I might have potentially missed out on, not really.
Microsoft is mostly shooters and bullshit. There was Sunset Overdrive, the new Insomniac game that looked okay. There was a Dead Rising 3 DLC that looked... it looked pretty crazy, and I was actually hoping it was, like, an entirely separate game, and then it was, like, DLC for a terrible sequel, so I was like, no.
Yeah, that was a really weird trailer. It had a bunch of Street Fighter characters in it or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
well, I mean, it's a Capcom game, so...
Yeah, it's just a weird combo. The whole trailer was just bizarre. You have to see it. Jay Turner was really excited about that one. He wanted them to replay it for some reason. Because he missed it the first time or something.
Oh my gosh.
I do not remember anything from EA. Like, I remember a bunch of sports bullshit, and... Yeah, that was about it. There's a reason why that's the lowest rated of any of the conferences from the, like, polls I've seen.
Oh, they also did a Star Wars game. I forgot to mention that when I was talking about EA.
Oh, yeah.
Another Star Wars game? Like, an actual one?
Yeah. They didn't show any actual, like, footage from it, but they showed, like, that the people working on the game went to the Lucasfilm archives to look at the props, and they went to all the old shooting locations to take pictures and stuff. So I guess that could be potentially interesting, but it's EA, so.
So yeah. In other words, they're talking about a game that they're just now getting the locations and researching to potentially start it.
Yes.
So it's like the pre alpha stages of making a video game.
It doesn't sound like it's very near being done, but. It's,
no, it doesn't. They're like showing pictures of them taking pictures of stuff.
It looked like it was based on the original trilogy, from what I could tell, because I think I saw part of it was the Ewok chasing scene, you know, in episode 6.
The Planet Endor thing.
Yeah, where they're on those bikes or whatever. And
oh yes, the speed bikes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty cool.
Oh yeah. Yeah, they went to the forest that they filmed that whole scene at. The only other thing I remember from EA was Sims 4, and that was... I don't know. I mean, I haven't even... I've been wanting to kind of play The Sims 3, but I don't think I want to play The Sims 4. It looks terrible.
Yeah, it was all about lifting in the gym and reading poetry for some reason.
Yeah. Ubisoft, well, they had Girlwood on stage. What is her name? Aisha
Taylor. Yeah, the one who plays the girl in Archer.
Yeah. I actually had written this in the text chat a few minutes ago, but at Ubisoft, it was really weird. I don't know who they were aiming their panel app, because they dropped about 8 F-bombs, and then they showed a demo for a dance game for kids. So it's like, I don't know what they were thinking. God, what else did they have? I mean, they had Assassin's Creed, which I guess looks okay. I've never played Assassin's Creed.
I played a little bit of, I think, like the Black Flag one at a friend's house on the Wii U, and that was a few months ago. And I don't know. That was like all. That's the only thing I've played of an Assassin's Creed game in my life.
God, I cannot remember what else they had. It was kind of a forgettable. Well, hold on. Look up what.
I'm reading the text chat regarding TY wanting to get on the chat, the call or the recording with us.
And
then you mentioned about how, yeah, he was watching Fargo, and he's like, yeah, good movie.
Yeah, nobody seems to know that there's a series.
All right, now he wants to get on and talk about E3.
Yeah,
I guess this is going to be the E3 / Japan trip podcast.
Yeah. Well, even with TY, it's going to be shorter than some of our other E3 years. Like, I think there was one where it was a 3-hour podcast, and Mason had to split it up and air commercials during it.
Yeah, that's when I first had my animation review thing, and like it was all on the same recording or something. And I tried to make it separate, but then he didn't take that one.
Oh yeah, he wasn't on. Like, I was moving, I think, at that point, and I never managed to get it sent to him because he was hardly ever on. He'd never respond to me.
I think he did like split up the thing himself, like for the following weeks.
Yeah, I think I kind of remember that.
He did eventually air, the edited version that Zionic made.
So anyways, let's see, I went through Ubisoft. Sony, let's see, they had like Little Big Planet 3, which I guess Chris Chan will really enjoy. They showed off a few like third party games. The weird thing though was like the panel just never seemed to end. It was like it was scheduled to only go an hour and a half, and it went like nearly 2 hours because they were like, "We're going to show you one more thing. Now here's another thing. No, we got one more thing. There's one more." It was like, "God damn it, just end already!" I remember in the AIM chat, like CG kept going like, "I thought they were about to announce Crash Bandicoot. Why didn't they announce Crash Bandicoot?" It was like, and then it was like the last game was Naughty Dog. And then it was like, "This had better be Crash Bandicoot. It's not Crash Bandicoot. Why is it not Crash Bandicoot?"
Oh my gosh, my life has no meaning anymore.
But yeah, and let's see, we already mentioned that's probably
why he was so depressed today.
Oh yeah, he was like, "There's so many reasons why I'm depressed, and most of them are my own fault."
Well, no, really, you think?
Yeah,
I think that's how most depression works. It's your own fault.
But let's see, I had already mentioned about Grim Fandango, and They had Bendis on stage.
Oh yeah,
promoting some new show that's based on one of his comic books. Like what it?
Who was on stage?
Brian Michael Bendis. But it was weird because he didn't really have anything to do with video games. He was talking about some show that was supposed to be exclusive to PlayStation or something weird.
Yeah, PlayStation Network's gonna start having TV shows, like exclusive TV shows. So he went on like a 15-minute rant about how glad he was to bring this TV show to PlayStation Network, and it was like,
Gloat?
Yeah, pretty much. it was so like ego boosting and like just time consuming that, I mean, I had nothing to say about it other... I mean, like, I remember we were all going, like, "He looks like Kingpin." Like, he was just this big, fat guy with a bald head.
Okay, yeah, everybody was saying stuff like, "It better not end on this," because it was anticlimactic.
Yeah, that was around that hour and a half point, and we all thought that was where it was going to end, and it was like, it was going to be the biggest letdown ever.
But then they just kept going for like another half hour.
Yeah, and that was when they showed like Grand Theft Auto 5, The Last of Us. Apparently The Last of Us is getting a remake, even though it came out a year ago.
Wait, why are they remaking a game that I can just go to the store and still buy? That makes no sense.
They're making it for PS4. Apparently.
This is why don't new systems freaking, you know, take the old system games, because that's kind of like how it's always been done before.
Hey, T.Y. Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can.
Oh yeah, I can definitely hear you.
Nice.
You are heard.
Am I being heard too loud?
There's an echo, but I guess that can't be helped. I don't know. I don't know what kind of mic you're using, but...
I'm using a fucking laptop.
Oh, that explains everything.
It's better than Daft's.
Yeah, at least with TY, we can hear him through his laptop. Daft is, like, you know, a mile away trying to talk to us, and we have to, like, what are you saying?
Yeah, I'm kind of glad he didn't show up, because I guarantee he is drunk right now.
E3 sucks so bad that he had another reason to get drunk.
He never needs a reason, but...
He doesn't really need a reason.
My question is, where is CG?
Oh, he didn't want to get on because he's depressed. He's always depressed.
Why? Did his metal rod break? I mean, why would he be depressed?
Well, earlier we were speculating it's because they didn't revive Crash Bandicoot this week.
I mean, I was secretly hoping for that as well, like I do every year, but... I mean, you don't see me going into depression.
Yeah, well, we do see CG doing that just about every day.
He tends to get depressed over the most minor things, so...
I mean, he doesn't really have anything else other than this kind of stuff. Like,
ask if one of his ex-boyfriends was arrested again or being chased across the country on a manhunt for pedophilia, but I guess that's not the case.
Not this time.
He gets so upset when you mention that.
I know. He gets so butthurt, it's amazing.
And he got defensive of the guy, too, which was the weird part.
Yeah,
that was so long ago when we had that little talk, tit-a-tat thing.
Zionic, I don't know if you were on earlier this week, but I made CG rage quit the chat.
Okay, no, here's what I know. Like, regardless of whatever you know about me in the past week, I've been out of the country. So, and I was at the Chicago O'Hare Airport, like, Sunday night. And that's when I called John. I was like, hey, dude, what's up? What did I miss from the chat? Because usually something happens when I'm gone. And that's when he mentioned about how you made him sad and he, like, got really depressed and rage quit or something. And that's all I know. And he's told me this in the line of customer service of United because our flight got canceled and we had to stay overnight. So I was already in a pretty good mood or bad, terrible mood already. But John telling me that maybe it made it a little bit better. So
I'm glad I indirectly cheered you up.
In a way, you did, yes. So, like, what was the whole thing about that? Like, how did that start?
I made a joke, okay? John and I, me, John, Josh, and I think we had already moved on. We were talking about either the X-Men movie or we were talking about the Marvel Universe, I'm pretty sure. And
I think I had seen Spider-Man 2, maybe. And we were talking about that.
The Spider-Man movie that came out like a month ago?
Yeah, finally saw it. There were only...
That was better than the first one that came out about a year or two ago, I think. Whatever that was.
Well, not really. Well, it kind of sucked.
I'm not a big fan of either of them. I think the Raimi films are much better, but that's a different conversation. But anyway, we were talking about that. We were in a deep conversation there, and I had brought up earlier, we were talking about Square Enix and Final Fantasy, but all of a sudden, you know, CG just kind of brings in Square Enix into the conversation, and I just kind of like sarcastically say, I mean, hey man, you missed that boat. I mean, we're talking about something else. Like, I didn't say it in like a cocky douche way. I just kind of said, dude, we were talking about that earlier, and then he got really defensive, and he was like, I can talk about whatever the fuck I want to talk about when I I was like, okay.
Well, here's the thing about the internet, because this is something I've had to learn, was the fact that sarcasm and being like kind of cocky but not being too serious in a comment in a text chat doesn't work 99.9% of the time you think it is.
Yeah, and when CG is on the receiving end, it doesn't work 110% of the time.
True that.
Yeah, so anyway, E3.
Yeah, So I know nothing of E3. Like, I've basically been slipping a layover, or not layover, but like jet lag from going from country to country. So,
yeah, I heard you were staying in Japan. How was that?
I was about to talk about it, actually. Whenever we're done with talking about E3, if you want to listen in and hear my tale of what I have to say.
Yeah, sounds like a story to wait for.
There's a lot to say. I've got some notes, and I'm kind of remembering a few things. So, but what are your thoughts on E3?
Yeah, let's talk about Zelda, TY.
Oh, Zelda. Ah, well.
They didn't announce Majora's Mask 3DS like we thought they would.
Well, I have some theories on that. I read somewhere that Nintendo is actually revealing some games throughout the little treehouse thing over the week. So I'm still kind of banking on it being one of those if it's going to be announced.
They did do a whole lot of stuff about the Hyrule Warriors game today on the treehouse, so I wouldn't be surprised if they had more Zelda coming up.
Well, and also during the digital event, they didn't really talk about the 3DS at all, so 3DS titles will probably be announced throughout the event.
Yeah, that's true. The only 3DS game that they really talked about was Smash Brothers.
And Pokemon. Yeah.
I mean, Brothers was the biggest, you know, today was Smash Brothers Day, whether anyone wants to say anything else. I mean, yeah, we got the Zelda reveal, but it's pretty clear that next year will be the year of Zelda, if anything will be. And like this year was all about promoting Smash. And I mean, that's the big Smash Brothers tournament was just, all that was doing was, you know, speeding up the hype train because, I mean, Nintendo's really banking on this year with Mario Kart, which apparently is off to a great start. It's boosted sales, but they're really hoping to continue that with Smash Brothers. So that's what today was all about, was getting that train rolling for Smash Brothers.
Yeah, and there's Pac-Man, which they announced tonight to build up some hype, too.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I actually didn't see that live. I saw it afterwards. So I was like, wow, that was interesting.
Nobody saw it live. They announced it in, like, some private conference for some weird reason.
Oh, they did? No, that is odd.
It is. There's no video yet of, like, the incoming Challenger Pac-Man or whatever.
So that would make... That makes Sonic, Pac-Man, and Mega Man. Those are the... Wait, is Snake returning?
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess if Snake was returning, they would have said something or, I don't know, made it Big Boss, being that he's the protagonist of Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah, I guess he's probably not. They can only have a few third-party guys, I bet.
Yeah, I'm assuming they don't want to, like, have a big third-party roster because at some point, you know, it would just be like, oh, well, whose game is this, the third-party characters or Nintendo's?
Yeah, but I really like the lineup they have this time. I mean, Mario, not Mario, but, you know, Sonic, Pac-Man, and Mega Man, that's great to have all those in a Smash Brothers game. Those are real iconic characters.
Yeah, that's pretty legendary, although I will say, I mean, Mario is really the only one that withstood the test of time, because I don't know if you guys saw the Sonic Boom trailer, but oh my god.
It's for the TV series?
Oh, yes, I saw it. And
I think I saw whatever was on the chat, and I just like, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
I am so glad I don't know and like anything about Sonic right now.
The title of that was Sonic Boom Trailer, Do Not Leak to Public. Yeah, that worked real well, Sega. Put it on YouTube and expect it to be private.
That was fucking amazing. I laughed for like 4 minutes after that. Like, what? Not like I wasn't like dying of oxygen laughing. It wasn't that funny, but it was funny enough to where I just kept looking at it. I was just thinking like someone was like, "Man, we're gonna really fuck Sega over here."
I think they meant to put the video on private, but they put it on unlisted, so it's like you can still link people to it.
Yeah, Yash just posted it in the chat, and we all clicked it and watched it.
So I'm assuming that they, like you said, they meant to put it on private to I don't know, like some higher ups at E3, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. This is like the whole Steve Cybernuts group situation where...
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I guess we shouldn't talk about that. Anyway.
Well, I can always edit it out. So I'll say this much to TY because I don't think he knows this, but
yeah, I don't know this story.
Okay. Oh, well, let me just give a summary of what happened back in October.
Question. This is the guy we, because I did the Dark Knight Rises podcast with you guys. Was that the same guy?
The guy that talked about robots with me for like an hour, and apparently I heard that was him.
And he was the guy where he was doing that interview where he was talking to the, like, some woman from an anime review website, and he was like, what would you do if you became a queen of an alien planet? And then you showed up in the interview and he got all mad and that you crashed it.
You and Daft crashed it?
Wait, what did I say? I remember me, Daft, and I were being like trolls, but I don't
remember. You just made butt sex jokes. That's all I remember. And then like that sounds like something. And then like Daft were like, I have a question. And then we're like, okay, what is it, Daft? And he's like, F you. And then the interview was on a derailing trail, and you guys were just the brick wall that it had to crash against, and it was like 45 minutes, and then that pretty much ended like me and him being on the same podcast. Like, dude, I can't put up with your attitude, because that's what pissed me off mostly about that. And then that's when like me and John and Josh started this thing up, and so far we have been consistent. We have released episodes. And we've gotten a whole lot more fans than the other podcasts, and Steve has done nothing with it.
Yeah, I mean,
he's put out like one episode a month, if that.
And it's mostly like interviews with like theatrical, like Doctor Who fans or something that he interviews. It's all an interview show, apparently.
Huh. Well, I could see that. The best conversation I ever had with that guy personally was the conversation about the Asian porn star. I remember that. That was pretty cool. But I mean, how do you not have a good conversation about porn? I mean, like, how many people actually have differing opinions on no, porn is bad for you? I mean, I guess some people do, but
don't know enough feminists. They say it's like the spawn of Satan and it demeans women and stuff.
Well, I've never had a conversation about porn with a feminist, but when I do, I'll get.
That's a good thing. You should be glad you have it.
I mean, I see them around my campus all the time, you know, like, there'll be a feminist group being like, oh, porn is bad, women are treated horribly,
And inside their bag is, like, nothing but Playboy, or Play Guy, or Play Men, or something like that. Playgirl.
Yeah,
Playgirl, that's what it's called. Yeah.
All I'm picturing whenever I see them is how big the bush under their armpits are. That's all I can think about.
What about the bush and other parts of their body?
I mean, I'm pretty sure that's grown a lot too, but...
Oh, dude, I think I had an argument with some feminists on Twitter. It was like,
some
girl got really mad about how she hates men and we all should die out. And so I should have never stuck my nose in this, but I did. And it was pretty much, hey, as coming from a fellow male species, may I ask this question? What do we do this time? And then she goes in this whole thing about, like, everything is all your fault. And I said, that's a whole lot to go through. Can you specify? And she's like, this guy on Twitter is just so too stupid to Google anything.
Yeah, she said, every atrocity in human history is because of men.
And let me Google everything and see what comes up here.
Oh, and then some girl was just like, haha, I made an anime podcast cry or something from our feminist powers. And I'm like, oh my gosh, dude.
And then they said, if you have time to watch old anime subbed on VHS, then why don't you have time to Google about how men are evil?
Something stupid like that. Yeah, this is like an actual conversation on the internet.
And then we lost like 5 followers. Why do we have
We lost like 8 or 9 after that. I'm like thinking, really? And I didn't even do anything. I literally did nothing but ask a question.
And then someone
specified what was her malfunction, and they could not answer that.
And then what shocked me was that there was a guy who joined in on it afterwards.
Oh, yeah, him and me, he kept going back and forth with me, and I'm just like, dude, I don't even know what you're arguing in the first place.
And you were like, okay, so they're using the hashtag #killallmen, and why should I respect them and consider them thoughtful and all this stuff that he was demanding you do? And he, like, didn't explain why they have good points or anything. He just was, like, sucking up to them for some reason. I don't
know.
Really
and I just
weird.
Said, you know what, dude? You win this argument. I don't care. I'm not even going further than this.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Twitter is a cesspool of – the concept of Twitter to me is, like, just post your every thought on the internet. And that's just – that's a recipe for disaster, in my opinion.
It's the same level as Facebook.
I would say it's worse because, with Twitter, it's like they like with Twitter they promote the short, brief, like you know, like oh hey, I'm going to Starbucks today to get this awesome smoothie. What the fuck? Starbucks doesn't have smoothies, do they? I'm going to get this awesome cappuccino, and you know, it's just like people just every thought, like it's like it promotes. There's someone out there that's like, oh, man, all these people really want to hear about every thought that goes through my head.
Yeah.
That's why I don't have a Twitter.
Yeah, I have one, but I hardly use it. But yeah, I've heard the psychologists and stuff say that it promotes narcissism among young people because they think it everybody is interested in what they're doing. They think that they're like a celebrity because they have a bunch of people who follow them, and they think every thought they have is some sort of like great insight that's – you know, world blowing when it's just like I really like ham sandwiches.
Bull crap. Yeah, I mean,
I would be I'd be inclined to believe that. Actually, I do believe that as far as the younger years go, but I don't think it's a problem as much because when they get into the real world and they realize no one gives a shit, I think it'll just hurt them even harder and maybe they'll grow up faster. Actually, so.
Well, it's an interesting idea, but the thing is, a lot of the people on there are people like Christian who get, you know, Social Security disability or whatever. They're never going to enter the real world. They're just going to sit around collecting welfare and engaging in narcissistic behavior.
Oh, they're lost causes anyway. I mean, let's be honest. Did Christian ever have a chance?
Well, no.
Does CG have a chance?
Well, at least CG is trying to go to college. I guess Christian is better than CG.
Couple steps up from Christian. It's better than Christian. I mean, there's some.
Well, Christian did go to college though. That's the thing. And CG didn't.
It took him 6 years to get like a one semester or two semester degree. But at least he got something out of it.
Yeah, that's true.
Got a waste of money.
Yeah.
I don't think he can do anything with 1 year of school. I mean,
well, it's 6 years of school that he could have done in 2 years, and that was for a certificate.
Yeah, I think he kept changing his major or something, right?
I don't even know. You guys are more up on keep on that than I am.
I don't know, dude. Well,
the other thing was that he got suspended for a year because he kept showing up with a cardboard sign where he would write, "White girls between ages 18 to 21, please date me."
Yeah.
And Marilee Walsh walked up to him and tore it up and suspended him, and he got really angry and made her the villain in his comic book.
Wow, this is I'm not surprised at all, and I feel I should be. Like, none of this is catching me off guard. It all seems
It's all in the Sonichu comic, if you've read that. It's all based on his real life.
If you dare to read it.
Yeah, I read the whole thing. It's hilarious, but it's really,
sure it's
really
hilarious.
Bad.
It's just I can't help but get depressed when I read it. I'm like, man, this is a sentient being that's thinking and doing this. Like, what the fuck, man? Like, I can't. It's just too much for me to fathom. This is a person with a brain, and this is his life's work. I don't know. Who am I to judge? Yeah. I don't know. I can't talk shit, I guess. I haven't done anything in my life.
He has people who are big fans of him and are actually buying his eBay art.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't sell shit that I made for $2,000 on eBay. I mean,
yeah,
this fucking retarded kid from Virginia who is obsessed with combination of Sonic the Hedgehog and Pikachu and manages to do it. I can't judge him.
Okay, I mean, let's get back to E3, I guess. Do you have any more thoughts on that?
Oh, okay, yeah.
What about the Toad game? What do you think of that?
It looks kind of adorable, actually. I would like to play it. I don't know if I would pay... I don't know how much Nintendo's selling it for, but I don't think I would want to pay more than $20 for it, so...
Yeah, I don't know if it's, like, DLC or if it's, like, a full game, or what is it?
When I first saw it, I thought it was DLC for Mario 3D World, in which case I have that game, so I could easily get it, I guess.
They were saying that it's, like, based on levels from that, but...
Yeah, it is. It's basically an extension of Mario 3D World. It has the same engine, clearly. It's same visual, same level design. It's basically an extended edition, yeah, of Mario 3D World. So I would be inclined to say it's at least pretty close to DLC for it, only you're playing as Captain Toad, which apparently actually has less capabilities of the regular Toad that you play as in the game, but I don't want to go into it too much.
Well, he's picking up turnips and throwing them at people, and...
Yeah, it does look fun, though. I would definitely rate that as a potential buy there. It depends on pricing in the long run. It's definitely not a game I'm paying more than $20 for.
And what about the Yoshi game? What do you think about that one?
Really the same thing. I mean, it looks fun. It looks like it'll be a great game to kill time. I mean, who doesn't like a Yoshi platformer? I was a big fan of Yoshi Story for the N64.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I played that a lot when I was younger. That was a fun game.
If it's basically an upgraded version of that, I would love it. I mean, yeah, it's funny you mentioned it. My dad used to rent that Yoshi Story game for me back in the day when we actually rented video games.
Yeah.
So he used to rent it for me all the time, along with another Nintendo 64 game. I think it was a Star Wars game. I don't remember which one. Pod Racers, maybe. I can't remember. There was several of them, but we would rent those. I'd play them for 3 days. We'd go back and rent them, and I'd play them until I beat them. But yeah, so Yoshi's Story. I nostalgia at least. I would definitely give it a buy, but again, no more than $20. If it's like a full size game, like New Super Mario Brothers or something. Like, yeah, I would probably pay $30, $40 for it, but not $50 or $60.
Yeah, I don't like how Nintendo's moving to $60 with some of their newer games, like Mario Kart is $60, isn't it?
Well, they do that. Mario Kart honestly deserves to be $60 because I mean it's a full size HD game. I mean I believe that like Mario 3D World, Mario Kart, you know, stuff like that, Zelda when it comes out will definitely be $60. Smash Brothers, all of those, you know, they deserve to be full price games, but I mean, and this is a thing with Nintendo, really. I mean, Sony's not as bad about it from what I've seen. Like, you know, they'll release games as download only for like $30, but Nintendo, like, honestly, New Super Mario Brothers, Wii U, whatever it was called, honestly should have been downloadable for, you know, like $30, $40 at most. I kind of feel gypped spending $60 on it, but, you know.
Now, see, my problem with Nintendo's prices aren't so much that they price them really high at first. It's that the price rarely ever comes down because they never mark down their games.
That is true.
Don't they – well, at least on the GameCube, they did those Player's Choice.
Yeah, yeah, they used to do those, but for – well – they did some for the Wii, but not a whole lot, and they haven't been doing them for the Wii U, so...
Yeah, it's pretty rare to find any new games from Nintendo for less than $50. Like, I got the Back to the Future game for the Wii for $20 new, but I think that's the only Wii game I ever got new that was under $50, and that was not a first-party game.
Yeah, third-party games for the Wii get marked down, but first-party, I mean, if you were to look for like Super Mario, I don't know, Galaxy 2, I think Galaxy is probably in one of those player choice things, but Galaxy 2, if you were to look, I think it might still be around $40-$50.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I just got it a few months back, and it was still, I think, retail price. It was crazy.
Hey, I have a quick question. Can we, like, stop real quick? I'm just adjusting the volume on my mic. Is the voice getting any better?
Oh, well, I think the reason why Zionic asked what's up with your mic is because there was a whole bunch of noise at one point coming out of it, and I don't really know what the deal was, but...
Oh, shit. Friends is on in the background. That might have something to do with it.
Well, I didn't hear Friends. I heard, like...
Like, yeah, it was like putting your hand over the mic or something like that. Kind of
or
noise.
You're moving it somewhere, or like skydiving off the building with it, or I don't know what.
Is it doing that right now?
No, it sounds fine now.
It's fine now.
I had a water bottle. That's what it was. It was like crunching and shit like that.
Oh, okay. No wonder.
So yeah. Anyway, sorry to interrupt. What were you saying, Josh?
Hmm? Oh, we were talking about the price cuts or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was talking about how if you're to look for like Galaxy 2 for the Wii, it's probably still around $40-$50 because they don't mark down their games very often, at least.
Yeah, I noticed that actually. Late 2012, well after the Wii U was released. Actually, no, I saw this well into 2013. I'm pretty sure, like Super Smash Bros. Brawl was still $50.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit.
Actually, another example, I've seen copies of Pokemon Diamond and Pearl for around $35, even though we're now into X and Y.
Yeah. And they've discontinued Wi-Fi service.
Any of those DS Pokemon games are still around that price used. Like, you go to any GameStop and they're like, oh, I want to get Diamond or Pearl. It's still above, like, $30.
Wow. Yeah, that's Nintendo's biggest problem is just learning to mark down the prices, which, in their defense, I suppose... I mean, you know, their only source of, you know, revenue really is games. I mean, well, actually, that's not true. They have merchandising and such, but the biggest part is games. And Sony and Microsoft can afford that because, you know, they're giant corporations. I mean, you know, Microsoft honestly has enough money to buy Sony, Nintendo, Sega, Ubisoft, everything. I mean, they, like, that's just, I mean... Not that they would do that. I'm just describing how much fucking money they have. Like,
yeah,
they can kind of afford to cut corners there, and
Nintendo's in hard times. Yeah.
Nintendo, like, they need their games, which I've always said Nintendo really needs to team up with some sort of hardware manufacturer, at least to, you know, some sort of electronics giant, like, I don't know, Samsung or something like that. You know, LG. I don't really know, but just anything like that that would. Not necessarily, like, allow themselves to be bought by that company, but team up with them. I don't know, like, allow Super Mario Brothers NES to be played on Samsung Galaxy smartphones and only them. I don't know, like, legally anyway. I mean, I know plenty of people that have Super Mario Brothers on their smartphone, you know, via...
I like having, you know... arcade emulators and Super Nintendo emulators on my Android device or my Motorola phone, so...
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, just do some... You know, cut deals with, you know, like a electronics corporation or something. You know, that way you could get your... You know, you would have, like, an easier way to get your hardware for a cheaper price. Plus, I mean, you wouldn't really have to go through the trouble of, you know, like, you know, doing it all on your own, you know, because, I mean, you think Sony's, like, gaming division... Like, does that 100% by themselves? Fuck no. They definitely go and get help from, you know, whoever does all the electronics, you know, like whatever division that is.
Yeah. I think Nintendo, they've always assumed that there's just a constant amount of demand for their products or the demand is increasing because they have such loyal fans, but... The Wii U seems to be showing that that's just not really the case, you know? The economy is so bad that people can't afford to buy it, even people who are Nintendo fans, like, you know, Josh or Jay Turner or I, none of us have a Wii U. We'd all like to have one, but, you know,
I've actually seen a lot of people. I have several friends in real life who would love to have one. It's just, I mean, I've, you know, they would love to have Wii U, PS4, you know, Xbox One, but I just sense like a lot of people just aren't really buying into this generation in general. Like I mean the PlayStation 4 is doing well, but I just don't know. I'm starting to have a hard time believing that even the PS4 will manage to match the PS3 in long-term sales, for the sole fact that I just can't see that many people being interested in it right now for anything.
What's even the point at this point in time? I mean, what does PS4 have that PS3 doesn't have that's so crucial? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, other than a few like gimmicky upgrades and, you know, we can now pull up the internet while we're playing a game. You know, other than that, something like that. You know,
and that Facebook like button.
Or share. So I will say, I don't know if you guys saw the Uncharted 4 trailer, but that was my second favorite part of E3 because, wow, that looked fucking amazing. Like, oh my god, like Nathan Drake's like arm when he like was laying in the wet sand, like it was, the sand was deforming around his arm. It was amazing. Like Naughty Dog is, they're gods among technology.
At least I know how to make it a good game, so.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, what did you think of the, I can't remember the name of it, but the Insomniac game during Microsoft that everybody was praising?
What was it, Sunset Overdrive? Yeah. Yeah, that was one of the bright spots of Microsoft's, that and the promotional image of Halo 5. I would have to say that that's just about all I can say for Microsoft. I wasn't a big fan of that conference, what I saw of it.
Did you see EA?
EA? Fuck no.
It was even worse.
I mean, I don't really expect much of anything less than... I don't expect anything more than shit from EA, so...
What about Ubisoft?
I didn't even watch Ubisoft. I assumed it was going to be Assassin's Creed 12 or whatever, yeah. And...
It was the same Assassin's Creed crap from the morning, and then it was some moron doing push-ups while they had like a CGI whale on his back.
What?
I don't know. It was like some workout game, and they kept showing like all these weird different things on his back to make it look like it was really heavy on his back or something. It was so stupid.
Hey.
Wait, was there anything about Killer Instinct and like people making rape jokes or something?
Not
that
this
joke
year.
Thing last year?
Not this year.
Oh. That would have been mildly entertaining for me, I guess. I don't know.
So, yeah, I would have to say my favorite part of E3 was quite clearly Zelda. Zelda U. Not Hyrule Warriors, but the HD Zelda game that they're making. Wow, that little glimpse that we got was pretty amazing. I have to say, I was really hoping for I wasn't hoping for the Twilight Princess art style like they showed in the demo or the tech demo from 3 years ago, but I gotta say, I immediately like grew to the art style that they chose. I mean, I really love how Link actually is kind of showing shades of the original NES and Super Nintendo Link. Like, I don't know if you guys noticed that. I don't know if anyone posted it in the chat, but there's a clear comparison of the Link from Link's Awakening and the one from the new game. Yeah. Like, his design is clearly being based off of Retro Link. And plus, I just like, it's a nice little blend of you know, like really stylized, kind of like cel shaded animation and kind of a Pixar-y like 3D animation. Like it works really well. Like it looks nice.
They mentioned Wind Waker when they were kind of leading up to it.
Yeah, he mentioned that he. That's another thing that I'm really excited for. Like I was really worried. Like my biggest complaint about Skyward Sword. I don't remember if any of you, or I don't know if any of you remembered me bitching about this, but. My biggest problem with Skyward Sword was that it was very linear. Like, the more you played the game, the more linear it got. Like, the only like village in the town was, or the only village you really had to explore around was Skyloft in the sky. I mean, you know, it was a fairly, you know, nice little sized place. I mean, there were islands in the sky, like everywhere, you know, you could go there, but it didn't really satisfy the, like thirst for exploration that I wanted from a Zelda game. And I was really worried that they weren't going to make this one like really huge. And it's not even that it had to be a huge world, just, you know, make it one that we can explore and, you know, just find stuff, find different paths and different things that would, I don't know, like extra items, all the good stuff that we normally explore for in a Zelda game. And I really think this one's going to deliver that. Like,
yeah, it needs to have something like, you know, how in what Majora's Mask and in Ocarina of Time and in Twilight Princess, you have the central kind of castle town, and then you have
the big
field around it, and then it leads off into all these different places you can go to and wander off and find get their Skulltula tokens and all that stuff, pieces of heart out in the middle of nowhere that you have to find. You know, it needs stuff like that, but with Skyward Sword, it's just you have your one little town, and then you go to all the dungeons from that, and that's it. I didn't even finish it yet. I've only made it to the lava level.
I finished Skyward Sword, but I actually stopped halfway through. Like, at first I was really into it. I was like, wow, this is really unique. I do give them props for trying to like do something really different, like kind of flip the formula over, but I just don't think it really worked in the end. Like, as a overall game, it's pretty good, but as a Zelda game, it kind of falls flat in a lot of categories.
Yeah. How much further does it go from where I'm at? Like, what percent would you say I'm at?
Where did you leave off at?
Well, the lava area.
The lava area? Let's see, you kind of have to, like, go back through the first few dungeons that you did. It's kind of hard to explain, but I would say you're about 40% through.
Yeah. Well, I'll probably have it finished by the time the next game comes out. When's the release?
Well, they said 2015. I'm just going to go ahead and assume November 2015.
Okay.
Because, I mean, Zelda games typically have a history of coming out in, like, mid-fall, November, kind of, like, just bordering on the Christmas dates. So I'm expecting a November 2015. We'll probably hear a lot about it at, like, Zelda will probably be Nintendo's big show off in next year's E3. I will say that I've noticed a bunch of Zelda fans are really, I mean, of course you have a few cynics, but I mean, a lot of people seem to be really positively, you know, reacting to this. Like, I've noticed a lot of forums, people are like, wow, I might actually buy a Wii U for this game. So that's definitely a good thing. And I've also seen some, definite analyzing of it. I actually saw this one image. I'll post it for you if you want. It's someone actually managed to spot what might be Hyrule Castle from that image of like Link sitting on Epona in the middle of the Hyrule field. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's way off in the distance. It's kind of hard to see, but once it's pointed out, you'll see what I mean. And
what do you think about the Hyrule Warriors game? Is that going to be a big seller? Or?
I actually wasn't, you know, excited about it at all. I was like, oh, it's just going to be a spinoff. But the more I looked at it today, it actually looks like it's going to be a really fun game. And, of course, it'll be at the very least, it'll be something good for Zelda fans to kind of tide you over until the next game. We get more news on the next game, because I can't really see myself being entertained for a full year with it, but...
Yeah, it looks like it might be a lot simpler than most Zelda games. It seems that it's mostly about fighting hordes of enemies, from what they were showing at the treehouse thing. Did you watch the treehouse playthrough?
Yeah, I watched the entire Hyrule Warriors section. Yeah, it's
I really liked how they had the moon from Majora's Mask and the fairies, but
yeah, it's. Like the guy said, it's basically just a love letter to the Zelda franchise, and they're doing that not necessarily as a Zelda game, but as a as an action fighting game. Like, you know, it's just, it's not really supposed to be a Zelda game per se. It's just supposed to be a part of the Zelda franchise. And
they called it a celebration of Zelda, I think, which is a good way of putting it.
I think that's a great way of putting it. So I think I'd definitely be a, I think I'll definitely give it a buy, actually, because it definitely looks like it'll be fun to play. And if it's going to have a ton of Easter eggs for Zelda fans, so that's always a great plus there. I mean, so it'll have a lot of charm to it, at the least.
And what do you think about Amiibo? Is that going to help Nintendo, or...?
It's hard to say right now. It really honestly depends on Smash Brothers. I mean, if Smash Brothers hopefully takes off, then I could definitely see it helping them turn a profit. But I'm just not sure what we're going to be using it for outside of that. I mean,
other than the whole, said that you can use it in Mario Party and Mario Kart also.
Yeah, and I think he also mentioned something like Disney Infinity. And something else, I can't, Skylanders, I believe it was. I don't know if Nintendo is going to be working with the Amiibo team.
It seems like a ripoff of those to me. I don't know if it's like more of a competitor than a cooperator in that case.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell right now, but I'll tell you one thing I loved about Nintendo's E3 is that it's kind of becoming apparent to me that they're not really trying to reel in the casuals anymore, as they were called. When I say casuals, I'm not meaning, like, you know, just your average Joe who, you know, picks up Smash Brothers or Halo on the afternoons and play. I mean, like, the Wii Fit crowd, basically. You know, like, they're not trying to... They didn't seem like they were going out of their way to push the latest Wii Sports Club. I mean, I don't think we got one title reveal from that franchise, so...
Yeah.
I think, honestly, half of the game, or half of the events that they did today almost seemed like straight fan service. And the fact that we're getting another Star Fox game kind of tells me, like, okay, we're trying to appeal to our fans. We're trying to get the core gamers back on our side so that, you know, I think they've kind of accepted that the Wii U is going to be kind of a commercial, you know, disappointment. Not necessarily flop at this point. It could be still. There's still time, but... You know, I do think that with Smash Brothers and Mario Kart, and, you know, definitely Zelda, I think, is going to end up being a bigger system seller than Zelda normally would be, because, I mean, the install base is so low, and Zelda's nowhere near the system seller that Mario Kart is, but I believe the type of fans that Zelda typically kind of reels in, I think will definitely buy a system for the game. So, I think it'll make a bigger difference than if the Wii U was selling, you know, way more units, basically.
When Twilight Princess came out, did it help with the sales of the Wii, or were people just buying it for GameCube since they already had one?
Well, actually, yeah, the Twilight Princess launched alongside the Wii. It was a launch title, which is first time a Zelda game had ever been a launch title, and I think it paid off really well. The Wii sales first week were great, and actually the GameCube version wasn't released until 2 weeks after the Wii version, so that's kind of Nintendo telling people, buy the fucking Wii.
Yeah.
So I think it worked, because it's kind of, if you actually add up, like, alone, Ocarina of Time is the best-selling Zelda game, but if you add up the GameCube and Wii sales to each other, Twilight Princess actually beats it by a little bit, so. I mean, the Wii version sold vastly more than the GameCube version. So.
I actually only have the GameCube version. I didn't get the Wii till like a year later, but
yeah, I it was the first game I bought for the Wii. Actually, I bought it with my Wii when I got it, like February 2007, I believe. It was a few months after it came out, and Twilight Princess was definitely a good launch because it got a lot of the Nintendo core gamers on. You know, it got them on board in an early time, so they were there to spread the word. Like, the Wii was lightning in a bottle. That kind of thing doesn't really happen often.
Yeah, a lot of people say maybe it was playing it too safe, the way Twilight Princess was. Like, it's too much, like, Ocarina of Time. But,
yeah,
I mean, after Wind Waker, I think that it was needed to return to that kind of style, because a lot of people didn't really like the Wind Waker style that much.
Which is why I really like the style that they're going with for the new one. I really think that this is I just sense a lot of ambition in this game. Like, I sense they're really trying to do something that the series has never done before, you know? So, I mean, I love the idea of, like, what he was talking about today with, what Aonuma was talking about earlier with, like, you know, the puzzles start the moment you figure out where you want to go, or try to figure out where you want to go. Like, what that tells me is, you know, like, you know, not all of the overworld is, you know, accessible at the, you know, like, from the get-go. Like, you're going to have to kind of work to get to certain places, pretty much. And, you know, that's, you know, we're not even talking about dungeons yet, so.
What do you think about the designs in Hyrule Warriors? A lot of people are saying it's sexist because there's female characters that play in it and they're attractive. And
well,
God forbid.
Well, I mean, I didn't really expect anything different, actually. I mean, what's the company's name that does this? With Tecmo something?
I can't remember, but.
But they do the Dynasty War series, don't they? Dynasty Warriors, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never played much about that, but isn't that based off of Gundam, if I'm not mistaken?
No.
Something else.
No, the Dynasty Warriors games have been their own thing, and then they did a Gundam one, like, in the past few years or so. But, like, that's just adding in the Gundam title to it, so through Bandai.
Okay.
And, yeah, I know the company you're talking about, but they've been making Dynasty Warriors games since, like, PS2 era. Because I knew friends that played those, yeah.
Okay, I just remember the last ad I ever saw, the only thing I ever saw from the company before I heard about Hyrule Warriors was a Gundam game from them, so that's why I asked. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, it just kind of seems like they're going for, like, a kind of a shonen anime style with it, which kind of fits. I don't know. I just kind of expected that. I don't know why.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's not really surprising that they have women in, like,
tight clothing and
tight,
showing
revealing
body parts
with ridiculously large breasts. So, I mean,
because
really.
You're an anime fan, you're the market for that, man.
Yeah, pretty much. Gotta say,
and the other characters do look like the, you know, real Zelda characters, like Link and Midna. They look just like they did in Twilight Princess.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, they didn't shonenize Zelda, from what I can tell. It doesn't look like they gave her double D size breasts and a bikini top to fight in. I mean,
it's fine.
It's like they really did anything to the characters that were already there, except Impa. Impa is definitely on the suggestive side, but I kind of think she's always kind of been like that since Ocarina of Time. So she was a ridiculously muscular Amazoness in that game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, but yeah, that was the most exciting part of E3 for me, and I'm definitely really, really looking forward to the next bit of news we get for the new Zelda, because I've never felt like that Wii U investment that I made a couple of years ago was worth anything until recently with Mario Kart and E3 with Smash and Zelda. Like, even with Mario 3D World, I like Mario 3D World. It's a really fun game. It's just, after that game, it just kind of become aware to me that the Mario games had kind of become cookie cutter at this point. You know, like, they all kind of felt the same, and I don't know if I'm the only one that feels this way. Like,
I kind of realized that after
Brothers and that and 3D Land and 3D World, like, it was kind of becoming this point to where, like, they were just doing, like, the same styles over and over again. Like, with the other 3D titles, you know, they went from Mario 64 to Mario Sunshine to Galaxy and its sequel. And each one of those seems like they changed up everything a significant amount. And, you know, here we've got this, like, really kind of cookie-cutter lineup of games. And I kind of think Nintendo's realized that since Mario 3D World should have been a system seller, but it wasn't. And I think they've kind of realized that they've kind of oversaturated Mario, at least the platforming Mario, not counting about the spinoffs or Mario Kart.
Yeah, at the start of it, I think they mentioned, no, they're not going to have a new Mario game this year.
Yeah, although I do think there's another 3D Mario game in development, I also firmly believe that that is a Mario Galaxy 3S game. You know, like, honestly, it might be fucking Mario Galaxy 3, which I would be just fine with, actually.
What? You were just complaining that it's the same thing over and over. Isn't that like Galaxy 3?
I mean... I was talking about, like, the new Super Mario Brothers series, like, kind of through Mario Land and Mario 3D World. What I said about Galaxy and those were that they kind of felt different and fresh when they came out. Like,
yeah, I guess, like, I still haven't finished Galaxy, let alone started Galaxy 2, so I can't really say.
They're fantastic. I would say Galaxy 2 gets a lot of love. I see it getting rated just as highly. I mean, it's kind of hard for me to do that. I love the game, but it didn't really change a horrible amount from, I don't know why I said horrible. It didn't change a huge amount from Galaxy 1. So I would rank Galaxy 1 a peg higher. And I would definitely rank Mario Galaxy as my favorite platform and my favorite game of last generation. And so, yeah, I would actually really like a Galaxy 3 because by the time it came out, which would probably be no sooner than 2016. I mean, it would have been 6 years since a true straight on 3D Mario. I mean, 3D World wasn't really that to me. It was definitely more of a 2.5, but at the same time it was 3D. I'll just say that Mario 3D World was definitely a 2.75D game, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. So it doesn't really take full advantage of the 3D, or...
No, like, it's the controls are, I'll put it this way, you have less overall, like, controls and actions to do than you do in a normal 3D Mario. Like, it's more akin to the 2D controls, actually.
I wonder why they did it like that.
I mean, it's a good game. It's just fun to play. It's great multiplayer, actually. And, I mean, it's just, I really don't know. It's just... I guess they wanted to try to do something kind of different instead of do a usual, you know, Mario Galaxy successor. I guess what they didn't realize they were doing was kind of falling into the same line the games for the past 3 years had been doing.
Yeah. I got the, when I got a 3DS, I got Paper Mario Sticker Star, and I haven't gotten 3D Land yet for it, but...
Oh yeah, well, 3D Land's fun. I don't have it. I've just played it, and I enjoyed what I did. I would actually say it's a little more fun than 3D World, actually.
Well, I guess I should get it, but I don't know. It's just I feel like I need to finish Galaxy first. I've had that for so many years and have hardly even played it.
Yeah, I definitely finished Galaxy. It's fantastic.
And I bought Galaxy 2 a few months back and haven't even started it.
Yeah, Galaxy is fun. Both of them. Yeah, so that's what I think about E3. I'm most excited for Zelda, followed by Uncharted, I suppose. And definitely looking forward to Smash. And Star Fox. I kind of wish we'd have gotten to see a little bit on Star Fox, but...
Yeah, did they do anything other than just announce that it was being made?
That's pretty much all they did.
And what about the other two titles by Miyamoto?
I honestly was kind of underwhelmed. I mean, it just didn't seem like it was coming from a visionary such as him. And I don't know, maybe the technology's kind of succeeded him, you know? Because, I mean, let's be honest, he started in the late 70s. but at the same time, I'm also kind of feeling I read that they were in very early, kind of like almost still, you know, testing phases. So, I mean, I have a feeling that once they're released, that the final versions will be very different. So.
Did they show those during the Treehouse?
Yeah, they had a whole segment on that.
Yeah, I missed it, but it was called Project Guard and Project Giant Robot, right?
Yeah, and out of those two, I'd say Project Giant Robot seems to have the most potential.
Yeah. I mean, the names alone kind of indicate that they're very early prototypes.
Yeah, I would definitely think that they're just kind of stepping stones. Like, they're just trying to figure out what direction they want to go with them. So, Project Guard, I really didn't like at all, because it's kind of one of the sit-and-wait kind of games, because a lot of it showed, like, little robots trying to kind of get into your base, and basically you had all these, like, 12 or so different cameras, and you were kind of zapping them with lasers when they would get close. It's just not my kind of game. But the giant robot thing, while we didn't really see a whole lot that excited me, I definitely see the potential there, and I know that with a mind like Miyamoto's, if that really is only a early development stage, then I definitely believe it could end up as a very fun game in the future. Once it's completely developed and, you know, expanded upon.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll see more about those at the next E3.
Yeah, and he also said that they were, from Miyamoto himself, he said that they were looking to have Star Fox finished by this time next year. So, with that hopefully being the case, hopefully we could see Star Fox as a late summer, early fall release next year. Which kind of, I could see that. I could see Star Fox kind of being a August, September title, you know, and then Zelda being the big, like, holiday November title. So,
I'm guessing it's going to be a lot more like the SNES and the N64 Star Fox than Star Fox Adventures.
I sure as fuck hope so.
Yeah. I mean, that was probably not a very popular direction to take the franchise in.
Yeah, what I find amazing and kind of admirable is that out of all the series Miyamoto could probably go back to and be a director on, he chooses Star Fox. I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you know, like it's kind of surprising he's not doing it for the new Zelda or something.
Yeah, like, I mean, you know, Zelda or Mario, I mean, they both have very, you know, very good directors now. But, I mean, I'm pretty sure that if Miyamoto really wanted to, he could easily direct one of those or at least a 3DS version of them. And, you know, he's got so many different titles that I guess he could do. But I'm just, you know, part of the fan in me kind of lights up with geekiness, like geeky glee that he chose Star Fox. Like, it's kind of an awesome thing because I don't think the last Star Fox sold very well. Like, I don't think the Star Fox 64 3D sold very well either. So I think that they're really trying to change up Star Fox a little bit. My theory is that they're just kind of they're hoping to kind of revamp Star Fox for the modern day kind of consoles. I mean, hopefully it'll still be, you know, kind of a rail shooter, but, you know, kind of made for a next gen, you know, 2015 gaming environment.
Which Star Fox characters are going to be in Brawl, or not in Brawl, but in the new Smash Brothers game?
Yeah, so that's I one thing I'm really excited about that I hope that they expand upon is the potential for online in Star Fox. Like, Star Fox Online is something that could be amazing.
Yeah, just playing online against other people in Star Fox, it is a good idea, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, space battles, you know, I don't think anything is more online friendly than that, you know, starship space battles.
Yeah, and I'm sure the graphics have improved so much since the other Star Fox games that it's going to be really impressive to see, you know, HD space battles.
Yeah, definitely. I have a lot of faith in it. I think it'll definitely impress some people. Yeah, I'd say E3 was a success. I honestly got what I wanted, so I'm happy with it.
Would you say Nintendo's the winner of the big three at E3? Or
I actually would. I would say Nintendo definitely edges out Sony. I went from liking Sony's to hating Sony's to loving Sony's while I was watching it. So.
Oh, what did you think of the Sony add-on thing that they announced, like the PlayStation TV or whatever it's called?
I honestly did not give a shit about that.
Neither did I.
Sure I was sending a text when they were talking about that.
Well, it seems like it's trying to add on a bunch of features to the PS4 that they should have included in the first place, and it just adds another $100 to the price tag of the thing.
I mean, most of them, from what I could hear, sounded like kind of useless features anyway, or not necessarily useless, just stuff that I wouldn't really have to do, you know? I mean,
they sort of half-ass added backwards compatibility with it, where they were saying that it's going to let you play PS3 and PS1 games, but for some reason not PS2 also.
I don't understand that at all. I mean, just, I don't, like, why is it so hard? I don't understand that if it can read Blu-ray discs, you know, like if it can read a Blu-ray ROM and Blu-ray players can read DVDs, then why can't something that reads a Blu-ray ROM also read a DVD ROM? I mean, you know, I definitely, you know, I won't even talk about that because I don't even, you know, I might just be talking out of my ass here. I know that I don't know that much about it, but it just, I don't understand why it can't be done.
Yeah, maybe they'll have another one next year where it's $120 or something, and now we can do PS2 games too. They got to save something for next E3, I guess.
Let's hope so. I'd definitely say E3 was a success. I do want to buy a PlayStation 4, and Nintendo's definitely got me anticipating Smash Brothers and Zelda. So. I think it did its job for me.
Okay. Well, I guess we're gonna cut this up into two episodes, right? We're gonna talk about Japan after this. Should we do closing remarks here?
Dude, it's like 12:30 at night. I can just talk about Japan tomorrow later.
Yeah, let's just do it
tomorrow.
Dude,
I'm tired, yeah.
Okay, what time should we do it tomorrow?
You're usually... Do you have like a certain time that you're available, or you just open any time tomorrow?
I just have a couple hours of schoolwork to do tomorrow. I don't really have much else planned, so...
I guess I can do it about, like, 1 o'clock my time.
Okay.
I can do it after lunch. Yeah.
That's like, 10 a.m. my time. Yeah, that probably works.
All right, we can do that. We're doing closing remarks?
Yeah. I don't really have one prepared, but I guess I'll just rate the E3 conference. I would say that Nintendo came in first, and Sony in second, and Microsoft in third, and Ubisoft in fourth, and EA in fifth, if we're going to count those two.
Well, my closing remark, I think basically the same thing, though I would place Ubisoft above Microsoft just by a little bit, just for presentation mostly.
Yeah, I guess it was more entertaining, like the fools doing the push-ups and stuff. There was nothing like that in the Microsoft event.
Yeah.
Don't look at me, because I didn't see anything of E3. Everything you're telling me is all what I guess I need to know.
Okay.
I guess I would rank Nintendo first, Sony second, and Microsoft in a slightly distant third, and fuck all the other conferences, because fuck EA and Ubisoft.
I do want to say this. If they're doing a giant robot game, the only thing that comes to my mind is Zambot 3! Zambot 3! Go!
That's going to have to be our final music, huh?
That's why I said it, son. Yeah. That's how we do it.
Okay, I'm gonna shut it down.
力と勇気と力とが静かに眠る海の底飛び立て飛び立て三つの目かが一つになって正義の姿巨大ロボットその名も我らのザンボ3 戦え我らの仲間広い宇宙へ羽ばたいて